Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, the 49ers podcast on the Odyssey Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com. Part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. That's Chris Biederman. He covers the 49ers, among a bunch of other stuff, for a paper of record in a major Northern California capital city. We are going to talk about Deebo Samuel. It's kind of an emergency pod. Low-key emergency pod?
Is this high-key emergency pod?
High-key? We're calling this an emergency pod? Okay, this is an official emergency pod. Because Deebo Samuel is back in San Francisco. What number is he going to wear? We'll decide that next. all the important stuff. But before we get to that, a big shout out to our friends at Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. Candlestick20 is the promo code. Use that when you check out to receive 20% off your order today. SGLambChops.com. Join the herd. All right, Deebo Samuel's back. What's it mean? Let's dive in.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Hey, man. I had Deebo takes leading up to, we're recording this late Thursday night. Deebo Samuel, according to multiple reports, confirmed by you, Chris, that Deebo Samuel re-signing with the San Francisco 49ers on a one-year deal. I think Ian Rappaport said it's worth up to $7 million. And leading up to today, my thought was the 49ers shouldn't do this. Deebo, the last time we saw him in a 49ers uniform, he was pretty washed. Last year with Washington, he wasn't bad, but that was a terrible Washington team. Is this the player that you want to bring in to kind of lean on to help bolster your receiving core as long as Ricky Pearsall is out? And I said, no, I said, you shouldn't do that. And then the notification came down and it was like, Deebo's going to wear a 49er uniform again. And I was like, fuck yeah, this rules. Like, that's awesome. I'm so back. I've never been more back. This is great. I don't know if he's going to be a wide back anymore. I don't know if what the plan is for how they're going to utilize him. We can talk about that today or tonight, but I think Deebo Samuel wearing a 49ers uniform feels right. And that's great. That's fun. It's at the very, very least a fun thing.
For sure. And if you just look at his numbers, he had 727 receiving yards last year, 5 touchdowns, 72 catches. He would have been, from just a pure pass catching perspective, he would have been second on the team in receiving yards. Last year
on the 49ers, like
Right. Like he had more receiving yards than Juwan Jennings. He had 5 touchdowns. As different as he's been the last two seasons in comparison to 2023, when he scored 12 touchdowns and had, you know, over 1,100 scrimmage yards, he's still productive. Like, I think in terms of, like, if Deebo, I think Deebo Samuel in this scenario is a lot more palatable than, hey, we're giving Deebo Samuel $27 million and we're expecting him to be a number one or number two receiver. Like, no, like, Deebo Samuel as a plan B with Ricky Pearsall out, with the expectations low because of the contract that he's going to be on. Like, I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about Deebo Samuel feeling motivated and slighted, and Deebo Samuel trying to go out there and trying to prove to people that, like, he's still got it. He's still Deebo, and not this guy on the back end of a large contract where a team very clearly can't wait to get rid of him.
Right.
Right. Like, even like Washington could have like signed him to an extension at any point, and they just didn't. They let his contract run out and he hit free agency. And so Like, this is, I think there's a lot of potential here to get like kind of a resurgent season from Debo. And the fact that he was your plan B, the fact that he's not on a $27 million contract, I think is kind of the ideal scenario to have Debo Samuel. So I'm all the way in on this idea because you're not really going to get at this point in the game, July 30th, after three training camp practices, you're probably not going to get a better option. And you could say Stephon Diggs. I just, you know, I would be pretty leery of the Stephon Diggs dynamic, the off the field stuff, the locker room stuff. Debo, you know how he fits. Like, he has a great relationship with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Obviously, they know what his skill set is as well as anybody. Like, so to me, it makes a ton of sense. And again, if Debo's your plan A, I don't love that so much. But Debo being your plan B, given Ricky Pearsall's injury, I think it's a pretty solid plan B to have, at least in July. And we'll see if he can stay healthy. But I mean, he plays in a lot of games. He's not healthy. He's like perpetually banged up. But Debo does play in a lot of games. So I think I think it's worth a shot. Like, taking Debo Samuel on a 1 year, $7 million contract makes a lot of sense to me for this 49ers team.
Yeah, and especially because I think Washington, because you mentioned just from a raw production standpoint, 72 receptions were his third most in a season, and he did that on only 99 targets. For comparison, he had 73 catches on 109 targets in 2023, so one more catch on 10 more targets. And the thing that jumps out to me when I was kind of looking, because I you know, watching last year and going back and watching some of his stuff with Washington, it was like, man, he just didn't. Because remember that last year in San Francisco, he just wasn't breaking tackles. Like, he just didn't look like Debo Samuel. And then even last year, when you see, it's like, okay, he's made some nice plays, but he's still not Debo. Like, he's not prime Debo. And I think we're seeing him evolve a little bit. And I think we saw Cliff Kingsbury use him in a little bit different way. And I think the 49ers are going to go to school on that a little bit, where he played. So check this out. He played out of the slot, according to Pro Football Focus, on 64.2% of the snaps last year. His previous career high in slot snap percentage was 33.5%. And then 2 years ago in San Francisco, his last year in San Francisco was 31.5%. And I just think we're going to see them use him a lot there, because I think that's where his style, where his ability to use his body and his physicality to beat up smaller defenders or smaller slot defenders who are going to be the ability to create separation out of the slot, just schematically, because Debo can't really do that with his physical tools. I think that's where we may see him become just this, in the way that Christian McCaffrey is sort of the safety blanket, right? Where it's just a lot of checkdowns. It's like, man, that second and 10 turns into third and 5, because that was just an easy check down to Christian McCaffrey. I kind of wonder if that becomes Debo Samuel, where he's just the guy in the slot that becomes some weird version of Wes Welker, where he's just open all the time and is just dangerous enough after the catch that teams have to account for him. But I don't think, like, he's never going to be 2021 Debo again, but I still think you can get a really productive year from him, as long as you're using him in that role and not expecting him to just line up outside one-on-one and win. Cause I don't think that's his game. I don't think he can do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, if there's a downside to it, it seems like the 49ers stylistically were trying to get away from Debo Samuel's style, getting somebody like Ricky Pearsall and Mike Evans. Like, those are guys who are beating man coverage and separating and, like, winning with the ball in the air. And Debo can do some of that, but Debo is just like, just figure out ways to get the ball in his hands and let him go. Like, let him run through defenders' faces. Like, that's what he does. So I think we'll have to see how explosive he is. You know, the social media content for him this offseason has been a lot of working out. He seems like he's in great shape. I think that's fine. I don't, you and I joke about like, oh, look, pro athlete is exercising. Awesome. Kudos to him. Like we joke about that stuff in the off season with the social media videos. But like, I think for Debo, it is kind of important because there have been off seasons where he's posting a lot and it's not about that stuff necessarily so much. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm just curious if there's like a maturity in his approach to playing football. And if he understands that, like, all right, I'm not this like star player who can kind of coast, you know, like JT O'Sullivan's like one of the things when he would, you know, break down Brock Purdy tape is like, he would kind of point out when Debo Samuel's not running hard. You just pointed out, it was like, Debo's not, you know, maybe he's late in the read and he's just like not running his route super hard. Like, you can do that when you're a star and your game is like, I'm going to get it on a tunnel screen and I'm going to score a 40-yard touchdown. Like, I know I can do that. I can coast, you know, whatever percentage of snaps through the rest of the game. When you're on a one-year deal and you're making, you know, up to $7 million, I think it's worth pointing out that the $7 million number is like probably pretty incentive-based. And if there's a chance that he makes very little money, if you know, he's not like super productive for the 49ers, right? So like, I'm curious if there's a maturity to his game now where it's like he's playing a lot harder down in and down out, even if he knows he's not getting the ball. Because like, it's one thing to be Debo Samuel and Mr. you know, 1700 yards and 14 touchdowns. It's another thing to be 30-year-old Debo Samuel on a one-year deal, kind of like given a lifeline because Ricky Pearsall, his PCL injury keeps popping up and is probably going to need surgery. And we can talk about that. But like, Debo's kind of hanging on, right? Like, this isn't, Debo was not made a priority by anybody this offseason, right? This, he's kind of in, you know, he's at the point in his career where he's got to hopes there's an injury somewhere out in the league and he can get a job in training camp. And that's like, that's, you know, you're not signing in March.
A humbling place to be.
It's got to be a humbling place to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if that changes his mindset and we see a different version. Like, with the ball in his hands, he's always going to be the same guy. But is he running routes like super hard? Is he blocking his ass off? Is he is he doing the things that he wasn't necessarily known for doing when he was, you know, superstar Debo Samuel in 2021? Mm-hmm. Not that he wasn't a great player. He was a great player. Like, the numbers spoke for themselves. Like, I thought Debo looked like a Hall of Famer in 2021. Like, it was unbelievable. The stuff he was doing in 2021 was unbelievable. He looked like Jim Brown when he had the ball. Yeah. Like, but he's just, it's, he only really did that for 1 year. I know he had a really nice year in 2023, but it wasn't quite the same as 2021. And he's at a very different stage in his career. So I'm curious to see, like, what it looks like.
Yeah, I just don't, like, you just said he's always going to be Debo with the ball in his hands. I don't know that he is, though.
Like from a mentality standpoint and, like,
he approaches it.
Yeah.
But I kind of wondered, like, I went back and I looked. He had, with the 49ers as a receiver, as a pass catcher, he averaged 8.2 yards after catch per reception. That was a career low. And that was in 2024. Last year was 6.5. That's way a career low. And then you go and you look at missed tackles forced. Again, this is all via Pro Football Focus. 17 missed tackles forced, which was only 2 more than he had the year prior on 21 more catches. Like, I just don't, I don't think that's him anymore. And that can be his mindset. But at the same time, my hope for the 49ers is that there isn't this notion that you can just plug and play. You're going to get that version of Debo Samuel where, oh, just get it to him in the flat and he's going to turn that into a 30-yard gain. I just don't think that's there anymore. I don't think that's available to him. He's 31. They're almost 31. He plays. Is he almost 31? Let's evaluate this. January. He's not 30 almost 31.
In January.
No, yeah. Okay. So he's 30. He's firmly 30. And he didn't just turn 30, but he's not almost 31. He's right smack in the middle. So
30 and a half.
He's 30.5. And he's closer to 30 than 31 ish He plays a super physical style. He's been banged up in his career. Like, yeah, his game was never going to age great. But I think we saw last year proof positive that Deebo Samuel is talented enough that he can still be a really effective player for you. My hope is that the 49ers use him in those ways. And there's not this expectation that, yep, he's going to get 5 to 7 carries a game. And this is the new backup running back. And you can put him in this orbit motion and the defense is going to panic like they did in 2021. And that's going to create all these openings elsewhere. I don't think he affects defenses that way anymore. And I don't think he affects defenses in that way with the ball in his hands. But you get him on a slant with some room to run. And I think there's still a little bit of that explosiveness left, even if that balance isn't the same, even if that tackle breaking isn't the same. I think there's still enough of that explosiveness left where he can be dangerous. They just have to make sure that he's dangerous in the ways that his current skill set allows and not what his skill set 5 years ago allowed.
Very interested to see. And like one of the weird things with this Kyle Shanahan accident thing and the fact he's dealing with a concussion, and like, I hate to like even bring this up, but like, what is Kyle Shanahan's capacity to like alter his offense at this, like in this very moment, right? Like dealing with the concussion and like doing all those things, because Deebo Samuel and Ricky Pearce are completely different players.
So, right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. But just like, I think one thing that Kyle Shanahan has done as well as anybody throughout his career is optimize his offense for the talent that he has. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you're not having Deebo Samuel and Ricky Pearsall run the same routes. Your offense is going to look different. Mm-hmm. And like Kyle Shanahan, kind of out of commission, rightfully so, dealing with the concussion, like a pretty significant one. Like, is the computer of the 49ers offense functioning at full strength? Can the algorithm spit out an offense that has to adjust with Deebo Samuel there?
No, see, I get it. Like, I don't. Yeah, sure. This is delicate. How do I want to say this? I think I think my bigger concern would be overthinking it. Sure. I think my bigger concern would be treating Deebo Samuel. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, if you treat Deebo Samuel like an effective slot receiver and not a wide back who run after catch and tackle breaking, and he's going to create a touchdown we're just going to throw a screen to him and let Deebo run. Like, as long as you're not doing that, as long as you're not trying to reinvent the wheel with your offense and just plugging him in, like, yeah, we have a good slot receiver now, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
He's obviously not going to replace. He's not going to be a one-to-one replacement for Ricky Pearsall, but I think the Y receiver in the offense?
Z.
All right. The Z receiver. Z.
Why like, is this slot? Why
yeah,
is
that? No. Okay. So the why. That's what I mean. Jawan Jennings. But that's what. Okay. But that's what I'm saying is like, so put him in the Jawan Jennings role. Like, I know he's not as physical and as big, but like, yo, just here, he does that now. There doesn't have to be a massive overhaul. There doesn't have to be a rethinking of what the offense is, because Deebo Samuel doesn't have the skill set now to warrant that. You're getting a receiver. You're not getting a wide back anymore. And I'm sure they'll try and sprinkle some of that in. Like, yeah, hey, for old time's sake, let's see if we can get Deebo a rushing touchdown. Or, hey, it's a weird 2nd and 1 and the whole playbook's open. Let's see if we can do something fancy with Deebo. Like, I'm sure they'll try it. But I don't think that this is going to require Kyle Shanahan to sit down and go, all right, guys, scrap it all. Deebo's back. I don't think it's that dramatic.
Yeah, I guess what my fear would be is like, how creative do you have to get? Because you worry that having Deebo on the field is kind of a tell at like what you're going to run. Like, oh, Debo's out there. All right. Bubble screen coming. Right. Or, you know, like.
So don't do that. Don't do the
screen or something just a reverse. Like, are you telegraphing what you're going to do with Deebo Samuel on the field? Or like I was talking about earlier with his game maturing, is he going to be somebody who can refine his route running? And so it's not like, all right, Debo's on the field. Here comes a Deebo gadget play. And that's like a lot easier to defend, particularly at this point in his career when you know it's coming. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, it, like, what's it going to look like? Is it going to be like Debo's on the field and he can't really do anything but run a tunnel screen? Then it's like, okay, how useful is this guy really? So again, just curious as to, like, I'm in on the idea. Like, I think Debo Samuel probably at this very moment is the 49ers' second best receiver they have on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But I think DeJuan Stribling is not super far off, like, at this point in Debo's career, right? Like, I think there's a real opportunity now for Stribling to ascend to that number two job. It feels like Stribling has been sort of the Y receiver in that Juwan Jennings role. And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about, like, blocking with Stribling, but I think that's a real thing. Like, I think for the Y receiver to get on the field, they have to be good at blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, is Debo going to be invested in that? Like, if he is playing the slot, like, you're talking about, like, he's going to have to be really invested in blocking. He's going to have to be invested in doing all of the little things that he wasn't necessarily known for doing back when he was superstar Debo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like, I'm just curious what it looks like. But again, like, I'm all in on the move because I think it's about as good a plan B as you can have. I'm just curious as to, like, what does it look like with Kyle Shanahan devising this now?
So here's a really interesting thing that I was just looking at, and I thought about this when you said, can he refine his route running to be a different version of that player? Has his skill set matured enough? And I just want to confirm real quick. Okay. Last season with Washington, his target percentage, according to Pro Football Focus, we're going deep, guys. His target percentage on medium depth throws, 10 to 19 yards down the field, was 29.3%, which was his highest rate by a pretty wide margin since his rookie year. And if that's what Debo Samuel working out of the slot more means, and he had a ton of did a ton of stuff behind the line of scrimmage for Washington. But if that's where he can be effective now, if playing him out of the slot and he can win in the middle of the field in that 10 to 19 yards beyond the line of scrimmage range, I think that's a really, really significant deal. And that's where I think there is evidence that, yeah, you know what? He's changed a little bit as a player from the last time we saw him in 2024.
Yeah. Could be. His average depth of target last year was 5.5 yards.
Yeah.
Which is down from 6.9 in 2024. 2021, which was his 1,700 yard season, he was at 7.8. So that's like, you know, I just worry, like, is he just limited to, like, being bubble screen guy? So, yeah, we'll see.
You know what? I'm going to give that a sharp maybe.
Just a hard maybe.
Just, you know what, Chris? Maybe. Hey, only time will tell, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Hey, what do you think defensive coordinators are doing right now? Knowing that, okay, Debo Samuel's back, but they're still figuring out the Jordan Watkins conundrum.
I was going to say, I think they're still scouring social media for the Jordan Watkins clips posted by fans on social. No, I do think we should talk about just kind of like what the receiving core looks like now, because to me, it like Mike Evans is going to be your X. I think DeJuan Stribling is going to be the Y. And again, I don't want to overreact to three non-padded training camp practices, but I was at two of the practices and Stribling looks like he's there. Like he's ready to play. Like,
this
start,
is the year.
Catch passes.
The consensus, like, big board is wrong.
It just feels like he's good enough to contribute from Jump Street. So like, is there a scenario where Deebo Samuel and DeMarcus Robinson are splitting time as the Z, right? What's Christian Kirk's role? I think that's obviously a huge question mark because he hasn't practiced after leaving the very first training camp practice with a calf injury. And he's been really injured the last two seasons. So I don't know if we can go into the season counting on Christian Kirk for anything at this point.
No chance. I'm still not even sure Christian Kirk makes the team.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to practice. And then, you know, Jacob Cowing. Tough scene for Jacob Cowing, by the way. Did you see Deebo Samuel's post on Instagram?
No, please tell me. I can't wait. Whole post, this is going to be so disrespectful.
On Instagram, it was like 19's back. And it was a bunch of pictures of Deebo wearing 19 in a Niners uniform. And it's like, man, tough scene for Jacob Cowing, who is currently number 19. So, you know, it sounds like Deebo Samuel, after he got drafted, got a gigantic 19 tattoo on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought it was a little bit weird when he changed his number to 1, but I think Deebo, like, 19 is a correct Deebo number.
I agree. One was his college number. Like, I get why he did that, but yeah, 19 is like, come on.
It didn't really look right, honestly. Like, I know that's like the number that's near and dear to his heart, and he wore it in Washington too, but I feel like Deebo looks better in 19.
Totally agree. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, but so I don't know. Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, we'll see. We'll see. I honestly have no idea what this receiving core is going to look like. It's like all question marks. I feel great about Mike Evans. I feel good about the possibility of DeJohn Stribling. I think Deebo could either be like I'm kind of expecting Deebo to figure out like 800 yards and 60 catches and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah,
like that's kind of,
yeah,
I do. Which could be really additive, particularly as like a second or third receiver, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just curious as like what it looks like on like a down to down basis and like how many snaps is he playing?
Sure.
What do you think this means for Ricky Pearsall?
He's got to be toast, right? Like, he's got to be over. Like, I don't think if this was a thing where if the doctors went, yeah, we're going to give him a week and then he's going to be fine. Or we're going to give him 2 weeks and then he's going to be fine. Or he's got to have a scope and he'll be ready for week one. Then Trenton Irwin or Dwayne Eskridge would be on the 49ers right now.
Sure.
The fact that they signed Deebo, where, and I think the 49ers are cognizant of things like fan reaction and how something like Deebo Samuel returning will be received by a large swath of the fan base, where Deebo Samuel is one of their favorite 49ers ever. They're not bringing him in to go, oh, actually, Ricky Pearsall is fine. Deebo, welcome to wide receiver 5. Or Deebo, you're cut. Like, there's no chance. No chance. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would do that to Deebo. I don't think they would put him in that spot.
So basically what happened at practice on Wednesday was a Niners communication staffer, or president of communications in this case, I think that's his title, came over and said Ricky Pearsall, knee injury related to the PCL injury he dealt with last year. And he said, there's concern. And he said, all options are on the table at this point. And obviously that means like surgery is a possibility.
Right.
And if it's a PCL and it's the same injury as last year, and you just do a quick Google search, it's like, oh, this could be like a 9-month recovery from the PCL. Like, this could be like a season's over before it started. Like, you know, we'll see it OTAs in 2027 type situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just speculating, but like the tenor of the way that message was delivered and the fact that like a lot of the reporting has been like, ugh, like this doesn't sound good at all, and there wasn't really any pushback. Mm-hmm. And then they go sign Deebo Samuel. It would not at all surprise me if this is a long-term injury for Ricky Pearsall. And I think it's really tough, man. I think it's sad. I think it's super disappointing. Like, He has shown that he could be a really good NFL receiver.
Good football player.
Like, he has shown that he belongs in the league, that he could be super productive in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yep.
But the durability stuff, the knee in particular, like, it's just preventing him from having any type of career at this point. Yep. And you wonder what it looks like, because if he has surgery and it's a PCL reconstruction and he's not back until training camp next year, I don't even know what the conversation is with Ricky Pearsall going into next year. Like, Ricky Pearsall is basically like what Jordan Watkins is at this point going into next year. If that's the case, it's like, well, this guy is going to have to, you know, the 49ers are probably going to draft, like, presumably, you know, we'll see with Mike Evans, but presumably Dejon Stribling is going to be one of your two best receivers. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with Watkins and Cowing and anybody else, but like, I would expect the 49ers to draft another receiver or two next year. And they're just not going to go into the season being like, yeah, we're earmarking Ricky Pearsall to be like one of our top three guys. Like, that would be impossible coming off PCL.
If you luck into that, cool. Yeah. That's a champagne problem. But yeah, I think they were already prepared.
He could earn it, but you're not like, like, the Niners might trade for Justin Jefferson next offseason. And it's like, we have Dejon Stribling and Justin Jefferson, and we'll see with Mike Evans. And like, you know, like, it's not as, they're not going to go into next season like, yeah, Ricky Pearsall's our number two guy. He's going to be our starting Z receiver. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, man. I don't know if it'll be Justin Jefferson. We'll see. Kyler Murray and the Vikings might be awesome. But no, to that point, I don't think they're going to prepare for Ricky Pearsall to be a major part of their receiving core. They're going to prepare.
It'll be found money if he's good.
100%. And that's like, I think you said the word disappointing, and that's exactly what it is. And this isn't a shot at Ricky Pearsall. It's not his fault. His body didn't respond to a tough injury. And it might cost him at least this year, if not more. And that's really brutal because of how good he's been when he's been healthy.
Yeah, and you wonder, like, he very clearly struggled to play through the injury last year.
Yep.
And not to, you know, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, I don't know what he was dealing with or what the injury is or was. But it does feel like, man, if this surgery might have been on the table last year, and if he could have got ahead of it and then been fully ready to go this year, the fact that the Niners came out and said, yeah, it's a PCL injury related to the one he dealt with last year, and it was before the third training camp practice, so at some point during the first two practices, or even the jog-through practice on Tuesday, I mean, I just wonder, like, could this have been handled far earlier? And if he had the surgery, would he be in a better spot? And is this a case of like, well, my rookie year was washed out because I got shot, which I wouldn't blame him if that was his mindset.
Sure.
But like, you know, rookie year, you get shot. Second year, you have a knee injury and you're like, I got to play through this because I missed so much time my rookie season. Mm-hmm. I got to try to play through this thing, and then not having the surgery. And then if it turns out he needs surgery and it is a season ender, that's a really rough first 2 years of your NFL career.
Man. Yeah, it is. That's so brutal, man.
Hopefully that's not the case, but we'll see. I'm not optimistic about this surgery, about this injury situation for him.
Can we shift gears to something a little more lighthearted?
Sure.
Can we talk about Romello Hite changing his number from 94 to 58?
Yeah, man. This is a weird one.
I don't like it. I don't like it
one
bit.
This is a weird one.
94 is a really good defensive end number. Maybe he's going to play more of like a stand-up outside linebacker role. We know he's not playing cornerback. but maybe maybe that's more the role he's going to wind up playing. And so the 58 fits him is more of like a stand-up linebacker type. But to me, if you're a pass rusher, man, 94 is just vastly superior to 58. It's not even close. And no disrespect to 58. Keenan Turner's a legend. Like, that's not a shot at the number itself. Just for a pass rusher, a defensive end, that's I don't like it.
Curious if Eli Harold is listening to the pod right now.
I hope he is. Hey, Eli. Hope you're well, man.
So I think 94 is one, maybe the best number in the 90s. Like, I think I go back and forth between 94 and 99. That being said, Romello Height didn't really feel like a guy deserving of 94. And maybe this is like, I've covered a lot of soccer. Like, I covered a lot of World Cup these last few months, right?
Mm-hmm,
And
you're
like
big soccer guy now. You're a big footy guy.
Big football guy. In soccer, like, your number is very much kind of like a status symbol, right? And so I've kind of like been thinking about jersey numbers from that standpoint. And Romello Height, he might end up being a really good player. I'm not ruling that out. He's not super big, right? Like, you're thinking that, like, Justin Smith, 94, gigantic, like, huge guy, like, filled out 94. Romello Height, still like 235 pounds. Like, 94 just felt like a little bit big for him. And it didn't seem like a natural fit. That said, I haven't seen him in pads yet. So maybe that's part of it. So 58 feels, 94 is a better number, but 58 might feel a little bit more appropriate. But it also feels like this whole thing is fluid, and once the final roster is cut down, maybe there's another, maybe like, Romello Height to me feels like a 55. Like, we can agree, so 55 is better than 58, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's Ahmad Brooks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that plays for sure.
I'm looking to see who's 55 right now.
The thing that jumps out to me is that he wore number 9 in college at Georgia Tech and at Texas Tech to finish his career. His final 3 years, he wore number 9. He also wore number 2 in college at USC. That's Siamador Lenore. That's not going anywhere. But number 9 currently belongs to Braden Willis. There's a chance Braden Willis is not long for the 49ers roster. At that point, is Romello Height willing, able, and wanting to grab that if Braden Willis does not make the team?
Yeah, I'd be curious to see. Fire. I think there's some weird rule to where, like, if you're a defensive end officially, you can't go single digits, but if you're a linebacker, you can.
Oh, interesting.
But maybe there's a weird loophole to where he can.
I thought defensive linemen could wear 0 to 99.
I think you have to be.
I might be wrong.
I'm not sure.
Either way, you mentioned that you're a big soccer guy now because of all the games that you covered at the stadium. Mm-hmm. Stadium. It's like Golden 1 Center. That you covered at stadium. So I want to do some comparisons here between 49ers and the Jordanian national team. Which 49er most represents or most is most like Abdallah Nasib?
He was their. Was he their number 10?
No, he wore number 3, according to my very rapid
Google search. So 3, I feel like, is typically like a defensive number in soccer.
Yep, it is.
Like a fullback. So number 3, typically like a middle, I would say Fred Warner.
Oh, he's a Fred Warner of the Jordanians. Nice. Okay, their number 10 is Musa Altamari.
Sure.
Who's probably 49ers.
Probably McCaffrey. When you were, 10 is usually like an attacking midfielder.
Yeah, so when you were locked into Musa Altamari at stadium, you were like, that is the Jordanian CMC.
Some people call him 100%. That was going that Yeah, you read my mind. Right.
This bit has gone too far. I'm done.
I was more locked into the Algerian team than the Jordanian team.
Oh, well, all right. Well, hey, do you know what's funny is when I first, okay, this is not, I don't, I, this is not out of disrespect. This is me being, I don't, this is a me, this is me. I'm making fun of me here.
Okay.
I was going to do the Algerian national team. That's the first team I pulled up. But if I tried to say any of their names, I was going to butcher it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm uncultured swine. And so I didn't want to butcher a name. So I found names that I thought I could pronounce on the Jordanian roster, which is why I went that way. But yeah, Algeria was the first team I pulled up.
Hit us up if you're in Algeria and you're listening to this podcast. That would be really cool.
Where's our Algerian faithful at?
That would be really cool.
Salute to you. If you're a Niner fan in Algeria and you're like, let me pop on Candlestick Chronicles and let me see what this pod's talking about.
Yeah.
If you're listening in Algeria, I will buy you a t-shirt. I will buy you a Candlestick Chronicles t-shirt.
Yeah. We'll send it to you too.
I'm going to need proof though. I'm going to need mail that shows you live in Algeria.
Yeah. Yeah. My take on the Romelu height, I just don't think he's going to be wearing 58 in the regular season. Sebastian Valdez, by the way, a nose tackle, is currently wearing 55. Like, we need to figure this out.
Darling of the preseason last year. Hulk.
The Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a 50. You can't, a nose tackle can't be 55. That's not.
Oh, man. Real quick, because this pod's gone on much longer than we anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Vita Vea trade, thumbs up, thumbs down. Knowing that you're probably going to have to pay him like Chris Jones money, which is about $32 million AAV, average annual value.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, dude. Push your chips.
You're trying to win the NFC West. What I would say is, I think,
and keep him away from the Rams, for God's sakes.
Right. Well, I would say Vita Vea requesting a trade is very much a trying to get a contract situation handled. Like,
yeah.
We've seen a lot of guys request trades, including Deebo Samuel, oddly enough, and not get trades. It just leads to a new contract. I would imagine that that's where this is headed with Vita Vea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if he's available and you could get him, what would you give up for him?
Alfred Collins.
Wow.
And a third. That's where
I need to see where
that might be way too much. That might be like, I might be shooting for the like moon there, and it's going to be like a fifth and a future swap or something. But if it's
Vita,
if it's
Vea, like, from Milpitas,
yeah, man, he's a Bay Cat.
I did not know that.
Yeah, man, he wants to get back to, well, he wants to go to any California team of the Raiders, according to Ted Wynn of The Athletic.
He turns, well, he's 31 and a half. just hasn't really missed significant time since 2020, which obviously a very weird season. He was a Pro Bowler in 2024. Yeah, if it's a player and a third, I'd probably be fine with that. I'm kind of thinking like third and a fifth.
That's where it's like Alfred Collins in a fifth. Maybe Alfred Collins in a third is way too rich. Maybe Alfred Collins in a fifth, because that's like, it's a good young player. It's a direct replacement, and here's a late round pick.
Third and a fifth is what they sent Washington for Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm. A fifth, which and is, a future third.
Right. That's kind of where I would land. If it needed to be a third and a fourth or two thirds, like, all right, you're driving kind of a hard bargain. I'm probably not giving up a second. I'm definitely not giving up a first. But I would do two picks if one of them was a third.
Yeah, sure. A third and a late round pick. Yeah, I would do that. Put your chips in and keep him away. Like I said, the other thing here is keeping him away from the Rams. That's a Rams ass move, dude.
It is, but our it feels like the Rams would kind of hold tight and wait to see what Aaron Donald's going to do before making a move like that. Because if Aaron Donald comes back, they got to pay him $30 million. So, yeah, I think that's what his contract says, unless they give him a new contract. So Vita Vea wants to get paid, obviously. So if he gets traded, he's getting a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to pay Vita Vea $30 million and Aaron Donald $30 million? That, I mean, maybe.
No, then you tell Aaron Donald to kick rocks.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. But I'll no, if Aaron Donald... If Aaron Donald decides to stay retired, I could absolutely see the Rams doing that.
Sure. All right.
It is a Rams move, though. That's a good point.
It's a Rams-ass move, dude.
I'm sure the Niners
they're going to get him for like a sixth. Yeah, I hope so.
I'm sure they've called.
They're serious.
I think they really like Alfred Collins, though.
All right, cool. So make it picks and add Vita Vea to Alfred Collins.
CJ West in a third.
No, I'm not giving up my guy CJ for that.
Really?
No, I'm joking. Man. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. So they're sending Vita Vea in a first in this. Is what we're giving up CJ West.
Okay. It's time to go. We're getting too loopy here.
Okay.
Goodbye,
everybody.
All right. Subscribe, rate, and review. Talk to you guys later.
Shout out our Rooker.
Yeah.
That's our show for today. Thank you everybody for listening. Candlestick Chronicles is produced and edited by Mike Robbie. If you're not already doing so, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@Candlestick Chronicles Podcast. Candlestick Chronicles is an Odyssey production.